So here we are, the recording is going. I'm Rachel Bolton, and I'm here welcoming you to Meetings That Engage, which is the second in our Genuine Contact specialty series of workshops. Our teachers today, our facilitators, are Awar Backeland and Ad Van Roosmalen. I've never said your name out loud before, so hopefully I have said it right. That's how I say it in my head. And I'm welcoming you here to our workshop today. We've got a great group of people gathered here to talk all about meetings that engage and learn some great tips for how we engage people effectively in the meetings that we are inviting them to. I will now turn it over to the two of you to get us started for today, and I'm so glad to be here with you.
Well, thank you, Rachel. It's great to be here, and I'm very happy to see you all. Also saying welcome to all the people that might listen to this afterwards. We are going today to talk about one of the tools of the Genuine Contact Program, one that is really important when it comes to creating meetings that engage. We're going to take you through this tool and both tell you how we see that it could be used, but also to talk about how to apply it and what situations and what benefits you get from it. So the purpose of the meeting is actually to deepen our understanding of the importance of full engagement of meeting participants, and to learn this a little bit easy and playful tool, a key aspect of the Genuine Contact approach. We have an agenda, as you can see on the first whiteboard, the first slide. And if you're new to this meeting space, you know we have two windows to play with. And often I sort of just draw them together a little bit so I could have them side by side on my screen so they don't jump in front of each other. We are going to use also breakout spaces, smaller rooms today. And you will get the full instruction from Art later. But for now, I would like to say that it's a three-step process to get there. Almost the same as when you entered into this room. You click on the breakout space where you want to be, and you click on join video. And the third step, which is the one that could be sometimes a little bit tricky, is that there is a pop-up window asking you to leave the meeting you are in, and you should say yes to that. Sometimes that pop-up window hides behind your other windows, so that's the tricky part. But more than that, it's nothing more than that, and we will go through it, and Rachel is here to help also if something is not working well. I'm just going to say a little bit about myself. I've been working with Genuine Contact for almost 20 years now. And I'm a trainer since 2001. I have used this tool that we're teaching today and also in the setting of whole person process facilitation, which it is an important part of, many, many hundreds of meetings. And I also use that meeting format or meeting method to create a whole new organization during the last 4-5 years. So I used it a lot, and I feel it's very important, and I'm very happy to talk to you about it and how it could be applied in other situations too. So that's a little bit about me. I'm from Sweden. I live in the western part of Sweden. And now I leave it over to you, Ad.
Thank you. And also from me, welcome everybody. My name is Ad van Roosmalen, to pronounce it in Dutch. But I think Van Roosmalen is maiden is very close. I listen to both. I work with Genuine Contact for about 5 years, I think. I'm a trainer since 2 years. Meeting with part of the meeting methodology that we're talking about today is something I use very often. Everywhere I work, and we get to talk about engagement is part of either when I work with groups, multi-stakeholder groups, outside in society or within companies. This will be part of the way that I'll work. I would like to start. The session formally, and I would like to have you all, you know, sit back, feel your chair, feel comfortable, maybe take a notice of your breath, and I will sound a bell, and that will be the start of today's session of the speciality workshop. I would like to invite you to pick an object, any object that you find around the desk you're sitting at or the chair you're sitting on, and we will use that, and I'll give you instructions after you've picked the object. Does everybody have an object? I would like to give you a moment, like a minute or so, just to reflect on this object, with the question: what does this object tell you about what it means to be engaged? So, what does this object tell you about what it means to be engaged? I invite you to go to one of the two to talk to somebody in pairs, to talk about what you found, what this object told you about what it means to be engaged, and when we come back, I'll ask you what you heard or what you noticed about what your partner said about the question. And what the object conveyed to her or to him, probably about and to share that in the group. So there's two meeting spaces, and there's four people. Rachel will stay in the main room, but Eivor will be partaking in the breakout groups. So maybe choose either space one or space two. Press on that space. You have to again join. Also press on the button to that will join that space. And I see most of you are already doing it, and then click on whatever pop-up, and I'll call you back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was alone in a meeting room, in another meeting room.
Welcome back, everybody, to the circle. And very curious, because I have no idea what object you picked. Normally, I can see that in live situations, but now I can't. And I'm very curious what you heard that the partner you talked to told you about what it means to be engaged. Invoked by the object. I suggest anyone who would like to start to speak can speak, and then maybe pass. I'll leave the talking object in the middle, and you can take turns to speak. I invite you, whoever wants to start, to start.
I can start. I had a lovely conversation with Inga, and she had her ear pods in their little case. And I had to laugh because I don't have ear pods, so I didn't know what it was. So first I thought it was dental floss, which it wasn't. So that was very funny. And what she was saying when we were reflecting about it is she said that, first of all, in order to be engaged, it requires listening, like really listening. And of course, the ear pods really can help you listen. And it also requires you to sort of, in a way, be present and choose what it is that you're going to be doing. And how I understood it is she said, I use my ear pods when I listen to a lot of audiobooks and I listen to things that are important for me. And in that sense, I can fully engage when I'm listening to them and I've chosen what it is that I'm listening to. And although she didn't say it, what comes to my own mind now is it also means by engaging in that, she doesn't engage in other things at that moment, but she's engaging in this thing that she chooses. So that's what I remember of our conversation. And it was really nice to sit together for a few moments. And do I understand correctly that I'm just going to be quiet and whoever picks up, picks up?
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay, so I'll pick the bells. And I had the pleasure of talking with Eivor. And Eivor showed me, we were trying to find the word in English, and it's the measuring tape, a measuring tape. And she was telling me about engagement, being able to kind of measure where you are in a relationship or in a project. So it had to do with being interested in how far you have come in a relationship. And also what the possibility is to fit things into that metric tape. And she mentioned the conversation she had with Doris in Amsterdam, and when they were preparing the timeline and seeing, wow, in the past 2 years, all the things we've accomplished, and sometimes we don't realize that if we don't have something to measure it by. So that was her metaphor for engagement. I think, that's basically what I got. So thank you, Eivor, and putting the bells back in the center and mute.
And I can pick up talking to Elizabeth. Her object was a crystal that she bought quite a long time ago in Virginia Beach. I think that might have been the first time that we met, shared a room, I think. And she said that was the time when she fell in love with the Yin Yang contact, and that to be engaged is actually to be in love. It is something that touches my heart. And so we talked a little bit about what it means to be in love, and when that love disappears, maybe your energy also for one thing also disappears, and to think about it and notice when it's time to move on from things. So for Elizabeth, the being engaged is very much about following her heart. Thank you, Elizabeth.
I will pick the bells. Is that how I'm supposed to, how this works? Yeah. I was speaking to my birthday twin, Doris, who had selected a plant that she recently was given by someone she cared about. She cares about, so it's important for her that it grows. And what I kind of got out of our conversation is that engagement relates to something you care about, and what you spend time and attention on is what grows. So that's a summary of how I what I heard. What you spend time and attention to is what grows. So I'll put the bells back in the ring.
I had to think, but I think everyone has spoken. Maybe there is something, maybe something that caught your attention that you might want to share to the group. And if not, we'll continue on.
I think I just want to say I found it very interesting to notice how much engagement and connection on all sorts of different levels seemed to be connected. So that was like the connections between people, the connections to yourself, the connection to energy. So I thought that was interesting.
Thank you. I'm going to give over to Eivor for the next bit of our tutorial.
Okay, thank you. It was very interesting to listen to these different kinds of connections or the engagement, because I think you touched on, or we touched on practical things, we touched on physical things, we touched on emotional things, spiritual things. So, and based on what you heard and based on your experience of being engaged, I invite us to move to the next slide, number 2, and to think about what benefits are there when people are engaged in a meeting. What are the benefits we get when people are engaged? And you can do it either way. If you are the kind of person that likes to speak while you are talking, then you can start do that and maybe ask someone else to take notes. Or if you rather write first and think a little bit and then speak later, you can do that. And in order to write on this slide, you just click somewhere on the screen and start writing. So, and if you happen to write on top of someone else, we can always move it around later. So that's not a big problem. So what are the benefits from engaging people in a meeting? And if you listen to this afterwards, you might not read what is there, but you might want to take your own paper and write something down and pause a little bit before you go ahead. And I will mute my microphone.
Is it okay if I speak?
Maybe, yes, of course.
And maybe someone can write it for me, but the first thing that came to my mind is what, when you ask about benefits, it's like, I can, the thing that comes to me is like, why on earth would you ever not want to engage people in a meeting? The whole point of a meeting is for people to be engaged. Like, that's why they come. You're supposed to do something together. So my first thought is like, the benefit of engaging people in a meeting is then you'll actually have a meeting. If you don't engage them, then you just have like, I don't know, a kind of zombie talk or overlapping monologues or something. So it was a really funny thing. It was, I had to say that before I could even think of other benefits, that it's almost like the purpose of the meeting should be to engage people. So yeah, that was my first thought that I wanted to share.
And I'll share a couple of thoughts I wrote down. And I guess the most important thing for me is when people are engaged in a meeting, there will be more participation and, of course, more commitment to whatever comes out of the meeting. That's my feeling.
So this is me again, because now I can start to think. And I think what I've experienced is when people are engaged in a meeting, a couple of things happen. One is that new things start to happen in the meeting, like the meeting becomes exciting or useful. Or I just came from a meeting with two really engaged people, and I thought, because they're engaged, like, that's when the magic happens, because the benefit of being engaged is that you can learn something new that the group of you didn't know before. And also that it builds connection, being engaged in engaging people in the meeting. It builds connection to the actual meeting and not just to the people. Like, it could be that it might build connection among the people, but I think if I'm engaging in the meeting, then I'm also engaging in what the meeting's about, and it can engage me in that collective space of what it's about. That was what also came to my mind.
I could also share a little bit of my own thoughts about this, that I think that people, for example, in an organization, people have so much wisdom and they have so much knowledge and experience, and engaging them in a meeting is a way to get access to that knowledge and experience and wisdom that they have. And so we could use it together to build up. And I think that when I've been a leader of an organization, it's been really important to me to engage people in meetings, because then I'm not alone. It's not only my responsibility, it's I am not the one that has all the answers. We are doing this together. So that's a little bit of my thoughts about the benefits of engaging people in a meeting. There are benefits both for the organization, for the people themselves, and for me as the leader. And let's just look at this a little bit, maybe a minute or so, and see if there is something else that just comes up to in your mind.
Yeah, I'm kind of playing with technology here, getting used to the environment. So I think from having engaged people in a meeting is a kind of prerequisite for good results. And I think that, yeah, so it's a time well spent by participants. So that were what I wanted to add to what has already been said.
Thank you. So thank you all. And I think what Doris said first is some kind of headline of it all. Why would you not want to engage people in a meeting? That's a good question. So now we know some of the benefits, and let's go take a look at what are we then engaging at. That's slide number 3.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. What we are then engaging is from our perspective, is engaging the whole person. If we plan for a meeting, you know, and it's something that some of you have already said, you know, you it'd be positive if it's effective, and if you can use all there is, all the knowledge, all the experience, all the wisdom in that meeting. And what we like to do is engage the whole person that's there, and to have people and participants to have them fully present. I think, I'm almost convinced that most of you have been in meetings where you were, but you weren't really, where you maybe were with your body, physically you were there, but you weren't really there. Your mind was somewhere else, and if that's not the case, you're blessed, I think. But that's sort of, I think that's something that happens. If there is and at the same time, you can be in meetings where, yeah, only a little bit is asked of you. There's an agenda, and you sit around of all experts and people, and there's this 5-minute slot in that long meeting where you're actually called upon to say your piece or to do your piece. And I've been in many meetings like that. And again, if you haven't, you haven't really missed out on much. And what that does is that you're only a little bit of you is used, only a little part of you is used, and that's neither for the it doesn't do much for, well, as Dora said, why don't you want to be engaged? Because if you have full engagement, you can really tap into all that experience and knowledge, and that should make the results and whatever you try to accomplish, it should make that better. And if you don't allow for that, if you don't invite for that, if you only ask for a part of the person to be present and not the whole person, you only get a part, and you only get a part of the solution. You get a part of that. And in my experience, it's neither for the purpose of the meeting very, very helpful. It's definitely not very satisfying for whoever is there. Something else I found very interesting about what you guys said earlier when we started the meeting and we were talking about the objects, and it's that it's when you're engaged. And now I have to see if I can write my handwriting at this minute. You have this and then I've lost my train of thought. I'm gonna get that back. So I'm gonna have to go back to my own notes, to my first notes, and I'll do that. So if you think of how do you get people to be fully present? How do you engage people? What we like to think of is that if you think of people have different learning styles, they have different ways of doing, and there is all this, and we all have that all within us as well. So there's you can some people learn by feeling, by doing, by thinking, by what it tells you is something that you it asks something else of you. If you wanna engage the whole person, you want to engage the left brain, you want to engage the right brain, but it asks, you have to do different things to do that. So in thinking about how to do this, you have to think, okay, if I want to engage that right brain, if I want to get that intuitive mind to working and that non-rational mind to working, there needs to be some relaxation, needs to be possible. There needs to be some breath. There needs to be some space. And at the same time, if you want to have that other side of the brain also working and hopefully together at some point as a whole, you might want to have some clear instruction and some clear structure that you want to invite people into. Those are all things that when you come to that you need to attend to for people to be fully present, to feel it, to people to be to not be worried about what's coming after or what's been before, but to really be in the present and engaged on the and not engaged. On the subject. And one of the things was that it's really important to and now I remember again what some of you said in the beginning is that sometimes you might want to move your feet. Sometimes you might, when has it heart and meaning for you to be there? And typically in meetings you're not allowed to leave. You're there, you're invited, you should be there. And hey, how does that work? How do you, if you don't want to be there, if you're not learning anything, if you can't fully engage, why shouldn't you move? Those are all things that are part of, if you want to engage the whole person, part of that. And now I want to, so talking a little bit about, it's important to be there, not just with physically, but also mentally, and also with all your what drives you and your passion and your emotions and everything that makes us human and alive, I suppose, everything that's part of life and also of business life and also of meetings. So I would like to answer the question to you before we get into how we do it. And to our perspective, how you can do this, how do you do that? How do you currently invite the whole making? Well, maybe the question should be more, how do you make sure that if you organize a meeting with people that they engage? And I would like to give you, I'd like to give you 10 minutes to talk in pairs, to go to the breakout rooms, and then come back to the after 10 minutes. And I don't know if Rachel is there, but if she isn't, so I would invite you to go to either breakout room 1 or 2. And we'll set a timer. I'll ask Rachel to set a timer for in about 10 minutes, and then we come back. So the question is, how do you engage the whole person?
And there
and
is
let me
a
come sec- back to share.
Yeah, and in that breakout room, there is a second page. If you want to take notes there, we can always copy and paste them here later. So there's a second slide in that room that you can write on.
It's actually the first slide now because I went in and deleted the transfer in slides. So when you arrive in that room, you will have that slide, and then we can bring it back in for you as soon as you come back into the main room.
Hi!
Hello!
Oh, wow. Welcome back, you all, to the circle.
I went into the woods.
It happens. It happens.
You found your way back. Excellent. On the slides on page 5 and 6, there's the harvest of what you've been talking about. But maybe you can both groups can present to us what they came up with. And then we thought we can have a little discussion around it.
Doris, Doris, just let me know which group we are in.
We were in group 6.
Okay,
we're
great.
On page 6. Maybe I start?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Yes? Yeah, so Elizabeth had some computer issues, so we're WhatsApping. And I decided to actually think about it, the question. And so what I've written here is really, it's only representing my own thoughts at that moment. But we had some lovely conversation as we were thinking about it, like, are you okay? What's happened to your computer? So I thought, well, this is a way to really engage me because using different media. But what I was thinking is, first of all, the very most simple thing that I thought, like the most basic level, in order to engage the whole person, I have to find a way to provide a whole body experience. And that for me really has a lot to do with making sure that the space that I'm in, no matter how simple it is, or sometimes I go into spaces that aren't inviting the whole person, to find a way to make the space feel like it invites the whole person. And like, I guess I can give one example. I recently did a dialogue at a movie theater. And, you know, a movie theater does not invite, it's not supposed to invite the whole person. You're supposed to be there alone. But they asked me to do a dialogue after in the theater. And so when I invited the people, because it was a small enough group after that wanted to stay, and we ended up sitting around in a circle with some of us on the stage and some of us in the booth so that we could literally engage physically. So I think the physical space has a lot to do with it even. And I also think making sure that there's room for that feels inviting. For me, the circle absolutely is part of what engages the whole person. And so I really find it deeply important. And then I thought finding as many ways as possible to address things with people. So I was really thinking about, you know, visual, audio, etc. And as I thought about that, I realized I've had some very profound experiences in offering all sorts of different things, to offer things like poetry, like that people can use poetry, or that poetry comes in, or certain music comes in, not as, oh, we're gonna do a music exercise, but as like stuff that comes in. So really finding those things. And I thought, yeah, I think that very much creates engagement, and I'd like to actually do even more of that when I can. When it's appropriate. So not as a thing outside, but as part of the, like, in thinking about something, to ask people, well, what would be a haiku about what you're thinking? And let's see what the haikus say. about this topic, because I find that very often very helpful. And the other thing that I realized is that providing autonomy for people is important, so that they are allowed to choose how they engage with a topic, or when they engage with a topic, or if they're going to go take a walk, or if they need a break. So this providing people, allowing people to have autonomy to engage to the level that they want, both intellectually, physically, mentally, and you know, emotionally and spiritually, feels to me extremely important. Yeah, so those were some of the things that Elizabeth and I talked about.
If you have anything to add, Elizabeth, this is totally, totally cool.
No, I think, one of the things that maybe I would just add here is, or maybe instead of adding, just reinforcing, is giving people that liberty to move. I think it's important, even if it's online. Always having the body in action, asking people to move, asking people to do stuff that moves the energy of the body for them to be fully present. That I would say, I would add that, which is kind of in what Doris mentions. Yeah, I was just in a meeting this weekend where the environment wasn't that nice. It wasn't nice. And we were sitting in a U table, you know, in this U-shaped room. And every time I'm in these meetings, I say, oh my God, circle, 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 circle. And, but yeah. So with that, I think that's what I want to add here. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Thank you. Thank you, Doris. Maybe we can go to sheet number 5 and the people who were talking about that or had their ideas put there can speak to those.
It was Inga and I who met and talked. Would you like to share a little bit, Inga, about what we said? You find unmute your microphone, bottom left corner of the Zoom window. You find it?
Yeah. But I don't seem to be able to kind of open this. Yeah. Okay. Well, Yeah. Slide 5. Did you?
Yeah.
That's right. Our slide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When thinking of this question, I was kind of floating around between, because I have different roles in my life. Kind of from more formal meetings to facilitation and with what we discussed, or what I brought as a discussion points, were kind of that people can add to the agenda or create the agenda, or at least kind of commit to it. So before the actual discussion starts, that they agree on it. So I find that, and also when I facilitate an after check and transfer in hopes and fears and all that, and I have kind of introduced the agenda, say, hey, are you on with this, or something like that. So and then I'm careful when selecting, now I'm talking about more formal meetings, who has to be there. So I try to some people have to be there, but then it could be an option for other people. If you're interested, if you want to participate, you can attend. And now I'm again talking about more formal setting, like the municipality. I'm in that setting, I'm increasingly kind of doing, and I want to do more of that, kind of to have people sit and write ideas on a sticky note or and then share it and or talk in pairs. Yeah, I think that's what I came to my mind. I was a bit all over the place. Maybe you want to continue, Iva.
Yeah, and I added some of the things that I've been doing while I was leading an organization, and that was the sitting in a circle felt really important. I think the other group also talked about that, and because it creates a different kind of communication. And also this about talking in pairs, giving time for individual reflection, giving time for just breathing and getting present in the meeting. I think that is, those are the most important things, or the things that I use to also to engage the whole person. Yes.
Thank you. Is there a, I'm just going to leave the floor open for any, maybe ask for clarifications or anything that you would like to add to this.
There's something I want to add. First of all, I think it's really cool for myself, to notice how more empowered I am also in formal situations to say to people, we need to sit in a circle. Can you please help me move this big, huge table over here because we're going to sit in a circle and what that does. But what came to my mind as we were talking, and I thought, oh, that's funny that I didn't think that, is that a big part for me is about shifting my energy in a meeting, or shifting the energy from telling to asking questions and then to waiting for people to respond. And so what I mean is that I think a lot of times, not so much in training, but also there sometimes in meetings, if someone has a question, the impetus from the leader or from is to immediately answer the question. And I've noticed that the art of making really good questions that are engaging, and the art of when someone says something and I think I understand them, to say, I'm sorry, but is this what you mean? Or can you explain that? Or today I was talking to someone and he's like, yeah, and someone said, I want to have fun. He was helping someone set goals. I want to have fun in this year. And then I don't know what to do because I don't know how to help him know if he's going to have fun. And I'm like, well, what if you ask him, what would your year look like if it were fun? Like, how would you know you had fun in the year? And then he's like, oh yeah, then we're engaged, because then I'm asking the question. So sometimes I think engagement for me has a lot to do with reminding myself that I don't have to understand what people are saying and ask them in those moments, if that makes sense. And yeah. I was saying to him, we were talking about it, so he's a teacher, and we were saying, like, it's with the intellectuals, you always think you know everything, and it's sort of giving yourself permission not to know what people mean and ask. So that was really, and I'm surprised I didn't say it, so I wanted to say it now. I'll put it on the question, if that's okay with you, Elizabeth. We worked so hard on it collectively, so.
It reminds me of I had a lovely experience last week where I had been working with a management team, and then the follow-up meeting was during their official management team meeting. So the meeting I did with them was I could do full Encircle, full WPPF, everything. And then the follow-up, we decided that time-wise it would be clever to do the follow-up in their management official management team meeting. So, and actually not a bad place, you know, nice building and all that, except it was one of those meeting rooms where the table was as big as the room. Lovely chairs, I mean, all fantastic, but you know, it's hard, you could hardly move around. And I did realize that because they met once a month, it would be very good for them just to do the minutes of last meeting. So just that they could get that out of the way. So we did that. And then I thought, okay, this is interesting. So they did that. And then I wanted to bring it back to where we were going to talk about the rest of the meeting. And I just had them sit back and breathe, and that's all. And that brought them back. And I thought that was, because it was such a small, for me, it felt like such a small intervention that I did. And it was very powerful. Everybody was, oh, okay, I back to what we're here really for. So yeah, so thank you for all these, and especially thank you for thinking about how this actually works in formal settings and formal meetings where we might not have total control over how we would love to do this. And I think thinking about even if you have to do things very formally because you don't have control over how to do it differently, and then still thinking, hey, how can I do it in a way that can still be engaging? How can I tweak that, do that little thing like you, what you were saying, Inge? Maybe, okay, some people are always, they have to be at this meeting, but maybe also give a couple of people the choice to come or not to come. I think those things are in settings that you don't really have control over, how to do them can be very, very helpful. I think we now come to a moment in our session, Eivor, where we're going to talk about this, what we promised you at the start, talk about a genuine contact tool that we use in our to get at the start of meetings to get people engaged, to invite engagement of the whole person into the meeting. So I'm going to give over to Eivor.
Yeah, and I was just thinking before we do that, because we've been here now for 1.5 hours, we haven't moved our body much. So it might be time to move our body. I would suggest that we meet 1:45. In my time zone, it's 4:45, but 1:45 of the full hour. Will that be okay for you? 10 minutes? Yes. See you in 10 minutes. Okay, so welcome back, and I invite us to start on slide number 7. Slide number 7 with the two children, and they have really transferred into their job, digging in the sand. And that is what I'm thinking of when I talk about transferring in and transfer into a focused interaction. They are fully concentrated, they are very present, they are creative, and they are doing it together. They might not interact that much. It depends on their age, I suppose. But they are creating something together, even if they are each doing their part of it. So I think this picture really shows how you can be really fully concentrated and being very present. And then let's move to slide 8. That is the things that we do, all the steps that we are taking when we do the transfer in. And I will go through them and explain them, and then we can think about them and talk together about them. So what we do first is try to see to that people sit as comfortable as possible, that they have at least some seconds to breathe properly. We don't know what happened before they arrived here to the meeting, what they had to do in the last minute before they entered, or if there were some problems. So having people just sit down in a chair and take a deep breath is a good thing to start a meeting. Then we invite them to choose an object. And that could be something from the desk or something close to them. Sometimes we have cards put out on the floor. Sometimes we use colors or we use their hands. It doesn't matter so much what kind of object we use. But we invite them to choose an object because that starts their right brain to work. It could also invite the intuition, because they need to be some kind of creative action when choosing that object. And when they have chosen the object, and not before, but when they have chosen the object, then we turn it over to the left brain, and then we ask the question. And that question is quite important, because that question should focus on the topic, to make them become present, and also to engage the left brain so that it will, because they need to start thinking strategically, finding that answer. Okay, I choose this stone, and now she is asking me about broadband networks or something. How on the earth will I get this together? So, and then these two, the right and left brain, and maybe also your conscious and your subconscious, will have to work together to get to that answer, or to try to find something in that stone that you choose, or that object. And that individual reflection, we invite to individual reflection for 2 or 3 minutes or more. That depends on the situation. But it helps with all this, and also could invite the emotions to come in. And because now you need to find that answer. So then you need to bring in everything that you have to find that answer that is focusing and making you become present for the topic of the meeting of the day. And when I do this with groups, I often sit, I have the feeling of that when they choose the object and when they get the question, then things start to swirl, the energy swirls in the room. And when it starts to become more silent, more soft feeling in the room, when those people who are easy, are ready to go fast, when they have sort of started to relax, looking as if, okay, I can't do anything anyway, so I can just sit there. When they start to look that way, or those people that need time to think, when they start writing, taking notes maybe, then it might be time to take the next step, and that is to share with the partner. And if you're in the same physical setting, then people move. Now we moved on our computers, but you still move. It's a moment for the body. You start to use your voice, and you also engage the deep listening to someone, because you are going to present that person, to introduce that person and talk about them, not about yourself. So then you need to listen really deeply. And then you could have that sharing for yeah, maybe 10 minutes, maybe more. That also depends on the situation. And then you gather together again in that larger group and you do your introductions of the person that you've been talking with, of their thoughts, as much as they want you to tell about it. And it creates respect. And you will also learn to know people on a very different level than you usually do. Because when you're in a, for example, a board meeting, you often learn to know people, yeah, what they are working with, where they are, or their name or their position. But this is a very different way of learning to know a person, more genuine, more deeper way. So so that is actually the whole thing. The recipe, so to speak. And what I have learned from all these years that I've been working with this is to follow this exactly. Not to mix the question with the choosing of an object, not to mix things, but do it one step at a time. Because if you start to mix them up, then you get a different result than you might have wanted. It's simple as that. And when I was starting to build a new organization, I used this all the time. I used it exactly this way. And it created a new way of relating to each other in a board, and kind of a new culture, I would say. Anything you would like to add that I forgot?
Well, I don't think so necessarily, but I was thinking, and you did allude to it, how it's also this really, other than that people get really engaged into the meeting, you really allow people to become present in the meeting. It also gives a wealth of information to you as the organizer of the meeting, but also to the people around them. So there's a lot of information that will be used because it's on topic in that meeting will already be available to work with in the rest of the meeting. And I find that a real richness of the, so it's not a ritual, it's not it's not anything like that. It's very practical.
Yeah,
that's what I'd like to add.
Yeah, thank you. And I also think that I said earlier, already in our transfer to this workshop, we talked about emotions, we talked about spirit, we talked about different things. There was so much information about what we knew about engagement that came up already in this group in our workshop.
So the interesting, of course, now is that you've all also experienced the transfer in at the start of this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so now, of course, we have a question. And the question is, what makes sense to me? Does this make sense to me? What makes sense? How would I apply it? And what questions do you have? And I would suggest that we take a few minutes to think about this on ourselves, and then that we talk about it all together. So let's take 5 minutes and think about it. And if you have any questions or anything that you would like to add here, it's just to click on the screen and on the slide number 9 and write it down so that you don't forget it when we talk about it. So 5 minutes to think for ourselves, and then we come back here to slide 9. Recording, yeah, thank you. So now I'm very interested in listening to your thoughts about this. What makes sense to you? How do you apply it, or where do you think that you would apply it? And any questions? So I just leave the microphone, close mine, and I'm very interested to listen to you, whatever you would like to share.
So I'll open my mic and first of all, thank you for asking these questions, because it really makes me reflect. And with the question, how would you apply it? Like in everything, every meeting, any meeting. I think one of the things that I learned when I did my whole person process facilitation training was, wow, with the transfer in, like it was so crazy. For me, it was so out of the box. The first time I heard, like, what does this object have to do with you and your training process or whatever? And it was like going so fast and so deep into the experience of what we were there for. And it just became a part of what I do all the time, even if it's on one-to-one coaching, even if it's, you know, in very small things, large meetings, small meetings. It's just part of what I do. And one of the things, I also, when you say what makes sense to me, one of the things that I'm missing is that small phrase that I think is so important that we learn also, is that if there's anything, when you are talking in pairs, if there's anything that you feel you don't want to share in the larger group, please say so to your partner, you know, please let him know or let her know. And I think that piece, and right now talking with you, Avery, and because it's just so much part of us, of what we do, like, and we were talking about maybe delicate things. I say, okay, Avery, this is just between you and I. So it's like these, that phrase that we learned for me is so important, because it gives a deeper sense of intimacy between the two people who are talking, because then I can just share what's in my heart, what's whatever, without the concern of it being shared in a larger group, maybe with people I don't know or whatever, you know, kind of like that. So, but in general, for me, transferring is so such a respectful way of listening to the other, of taking the attention off myself to really listen to what the other has to say, instead of being in my head talking, but just being there for the other person, listening to the other person. So, yeah. And even in one-to-one, meetings or trainings, just that opportunity of using both brains, left and right, asking a weird question. And I always make fun in my trainings. I say, it's interesting how, even though I've thought a lot about the question before asking it and in the design, it's true that when I ask it, I also feel that right brain shock, if that's something. But it's kind of like, huh, yeah. How does it relate? So even though in the process of developing a design, I think a lot about the question, what do I want to ask? What how do I relate the question or the object to the subject that we are about to embark on? It's also true that it surprises me. So yeah, it always surprises me. So I'm really grateful for this. Thank you. And I'll put the object in the center by closing my mic.
I wanted to pick it up. I hope I didn't grab it out of anybody's hands as I ran to pick it up. First, because there was something you said, Elizabeth, that connected me back to this issue of engagement. And it's about this, like, making sure that people understand that they have agency over what other people share, that they can be clear that there are things they might want to talk to people and that they don't want others to that it's not for the big circle. And I think that has a lot to do also with engagement in meetings, because it sets a tone of you being able to care for yourself. And I work a lot in training contexts. I think some trainings, certainly old world training, that's often taken away from people. And people are sort of punked into having to expose things that they didn't want to expose, or they're pushed into a situation that they don't feel comfortable with, but they don't know a way out. So I find, like, in creating engagement in learning, I think also in meetings, having that freedom and having that clarity of, like, take your responsibility and know that it's okay, and I expect you to do that as the leader of this meeting, is very, very powerful. What I was also thinking, I mean, I also had I used even before I thought I really wanted to be involved with contact so much. I learned transfer when I was at a training with Birgit, and I think I did it from the moment I learned it on, because it touched something for me, which is about going beyond people's roles and who are you and posturing, and allowing creative in places where people often don't feel that their creativity is allowed to come in. So I'm also using it all over the place. And I never hear, I think once in all the years we did this, there was one man many years ago, and he was like, I don't wanna look at a stupid card. I'm like, that's okay, you don't have to. Let other people are gonna talk. So essentially what happened is he decided to take himself out of that. I said, you don't have to participate. The four other people did, and then he really wanted to talk about his card. So there's something about, and that's the only time I've ever experienced somebody feeling like they didn't want to engage. What I also know is I use it beyond, like sometimes I have ongoing meetings, and I don't use this form of transfer in at the beginning of every meeting, because a lot of meetings were still working on the same thing. But I'll always use transfer in when we're shifting to a next subject, or when we're in another moment of that meeting, or there's like a shift. If I can give an example, like I used to work with these young people, and we would transfer into our coaching sessions together in the full way in the beginning. Then we would use more of a like morning news or check-in style transfer in, and then there would be a moment where we'd have to do an evaluation of how it was going, and we would do this transfer in, because it provides so much information and it supports people in that focus of what is this about again on many different levels. So I liked that. And I just had a funny story. I met a woman and we were talking about this way of working, and I mentioned, she asked something about, you know, well, how do you start a meeting? And I told her, and she's like, yeah, that would work like once. But after you did that like once or twice, don't people get bored? And I was, you know, and I was like, I think I've been doing this for 20 years because I met it 20 years ago. And it's the only way I ever meet people. It's the only way I start formal meetings pretty much. And no one has ever gotten bored. So it was this really funny moment. And I think that goes back to what Ad said about, I have to make sure it's not a ritual. It has, the question has to be real. It has to be, it can't just be, oh yeah, what, you know, blah. It can't, it has to really touch people or touch the topic. And then it's never boring. So those were just sort of the thoughts that came to my mind. And that's what I wanted to mention. Yeah, I put the object back in the center.
I'll take the object. I really like the transfer in as a participant, and I have used it, but I have kind of I've skipped one step. That's number five, reflection with a partner. So I have gone from individual reflection to introducing my thoughts on this to the whole group. I used it just last Thursday, a week ago, in a circle with like 40 people, like the way I was explaining it now. And in that, then I was thinking, kind of, to me it works, but I'm not able to say the purpose. What's the purpose? What is the objective? Why am I doing this? And yeah, and to explain, you know, both what's the objective and why, to kind of. But I know it's something about left brain, right brain, whole brain. But I would like kind of to get the more of a summary of what you think the purpose is. It is in my head, but it's kind of unclear. So, yeah.
Can I check?
Yeah.
Do you mean the purpose of going into groups or the whole purpose of...
No, the of transferring.
Okay.
You know, kind of to explain it to others. And I feel that I stumble on that. So I'll put the object in the circle.
Well, I can say something about it, and then I'm sure that others could also fill in. For me, the purpose of doing a transfer in is to get the whole person present in the room and to be able to access all their knowledge, experience, wisdom to work on the topic of the meeting or purpose of the meeting, to use everything that they got. What I have found, I mean, I've been a politician, I have worked in municipalities, I've been sitting at all these board meetings for years and years, and what I have been asked is a little bit of my left brain. At times I've been asked to use my hands. That's all. I have not much been asked to use my creativity, my intuition, my emotions, oh, they were dangerous, leave them outside. So what I use it for is actually to get everyone, the whole full being, present in the room and to work, so we can work together. Because as a leader, I don't want to do the job all by myself. I want everyone there. I need everyone because I don't know everything. So that's why I do it. And I could also say something about that number five, sharing with a partner. When there is a group that has been together for a long time, such as the board I was leading, we worked together for 4 years. When it's been that long, we didn't always do transfer in. We did, as Doris explained, that we did transfer in at the start of maybe a term, and then we had a few meetings with where we only had like morning news or a kind of check-in, and then again we did transfer in when we changed a little bit or when there was something different coming in. We didn't always share with a partner first, but what I found is that the difference that when you share with a partner, you have to listen to them. You're not talking about yourself. You can't repeat the same things that you always say about yourself, even if you're now saying something about your object. It often the same words often comes out of your mouth, and so it's something about that listening that gets lost when you don't do it in pairs before you share in the circle. Was my thoughts, and yeah. I think Doris wanted to have Rachel.
So I have the other part for me that's really important about that sharing in pairs is I don't have to, if I'm a introverted person, if I don't like public speaking, if I'm uncomfortable in this big circle because I've never been in a circle like this before and I can't hide behind a table, if the first time I'm being asked to speak is privately with one other person, that's easier. I can engage more fully because I don't have all those fears confronting me right at this second. And then when I come into that collective circle and I have to speak in front of this whole group, because in the transfer in, your object is usually passed around and it's your turn to introduce your partner, you're also not talking about yourself. And you're not talking about your reflections, which maybe you're feeling like, oh, they were silly or they weren't deep enough or like whatever negative self-talk you might have about those things. You're talking about your partner. And it might be somebody who you know, it might be somebody you don't. And so it's it's not detached in an unhealthy way, but it's not so personal that it lessens the uncomfortability of that first time of sharing. And it makes that first time in the group that you're using your voice easier. Mm-hmm. And so it has lots of power, not just in the engaging of how do I as a whole person connect from my intuition and things, but also how do I actually show up here fully in a way that feels comfortable? And now that I've done it once, it's not so scary to then share my own contributions the next time there's an opportunity.
Yeah. And I think that's so cool what you said, Rachel. And I also wanted to share one other thing that I feel is the purpose of this, which is it's about like, what am I showing up to? And for me, what transfer in all of, with using all of these different steps does is it allows me to come there and land into the topic fully with other people. And I find that so important that I'm coming in and you're engaging me as a whole person in what we're going to talk about. And so when I meet these other people and we speak, we're also talking about what we're going to talk about. And often other forms of, like, we want people to come fully. Adam sure heard this story a million times, maybe others, but often what people will do is they'll ask you to say something personal about yourself, which besides being really exposed, or you go into a group and you find out something, pretty much always, like, if one person starts something about like, what's important in your life other than your work, which sometimes happens, or who are either people are saying, I'm the president of so-and-so, and the guy who's not feels bad. But the other thing that happens is when people talk personally, there tends to be trends that are set. And I've often spoken about in my experience with those meetings, people will start talking about things. And often the easiest thing to talk about personally when people ask you, well, what's important outside your life is, oh yeah, I just got married and I'm going to have a baby. Or yeah, my wife had a baby. Or oh, my children are the only thing that's really important to me. Oh yes, life is about children. And in that moment, that sets a trend that everybody follows. And for those people who maybe are trying but can't have children, or those people who might be in the middle of a divorce, or those people who might, you know, they can't show up as full people ever again in that meeting. And I've experienced that as a person. And I've experienced that as a, you know, as a facilitator watching it happen. So I want people to fully engage in the space of what we're talking about and give them private space if those things come up, but not force that in the group. And the same way, I don't want people to position, look at me, how important I am in such a group. And so I think for me, part of the purpose of transferring is allowing that to happen. And I love the introversion piece that you mentioned, Rachel. And I just want to say, one of my colleagues who's quite an introversion type, one of the things she said is, what I love about genuine contact meetings is that I can be here. Like, this really works for me as an introvert. And most meetings don't. And so I thought that was a very powerful thing. And now, yes, this transfer in is one of the places where that works. So I just wanted to mention those pieces. Puts the theme in the center.
I would like to add two things to that. Is that, first off, often I explain often to people, and people can easily relate to that. If you come to a meeting, you come from somewhere else, so you need some time to transition. So that's also often a way that I, if I have to explain it at all, that's how I typically do it. And another thing was about the introversion. I did a workshop about how to lead a team on an app developers conference last year, and they said to me, you have to be people are very introvert, people that are techies okay, it's fine, it's okay, I think I can handle that, I think what I do can handle that. And then there were some other workshops given at that conference, and about public speaking and about negotiating and about other things, and they said, yeah, the problem was that I did a thing about presenting, and people didn't really stand up, they didn't really want to do it, and so they asked me how were they in yours, and I did a WPPF meeting, and I said, yeah, well, people acknowledged that they didn't like speaking, and they'd rather be in their cubicle with no other human interaction. But they spoke. They were talking. And I think the transfer in is the first moment that really happens. And that sort of feeds in through the whole meeting. That's my two cents.
Okay, so just leave it for another minute. It's been very interesting to listen to all this, and it really also deepens my understanding of transferring. So I'm just leaving it a little bit more in case there are some more thoughts coming up.
I just wanted to say thank you, Rachel, because that reflection you just made about the introverts is so great. And I had never thought about that. And I think it's like, absolutely. I was like, yeah, of course, this is also so useful for that. And especially when in many facilitation processes, we're taught to how to break the ice. And this is definitely not an icebreaker. This is a connection maker. And it's a connection maker at different, so many different levels. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Rach. And thank you, guys.
I kind of wanted to share a story that popped into my head when I first came in here, because I knew we were going to talk about transfer in, and I was thinking, and somehow this story, I hadn't thought of this in a really long time, but many, many years ago, I worked with like master's student in a communication education, and there were probably about, I don't know, let's say 25 in the class, and they were all quite like master student-y and taking everything really serious, and of course I made them sit in a circle, and of course we did a transfer in, and after these 2 days, I mean, it happens a lot, but these particular students were really like, what did you do? I'm like, what did I do? They said, why are we talking so well? We've worked together for 8 months and we never talk like this ever. What happened? I was like, and I remember thinking like, what a great question. And it was a bit like, they weren't angry that they talked well together, but they were sort of frustrated that that didn't happen as a norm. And I remember thinking like at that time, which was, it must have been like 15 or 16 years ago. And all I could think of is the only thing I think I did very differently than some of the other things, because they had interactive classes and all sorts of stuff that, you know, working together and blah, blah. It was that I had them sit in a circle and we used a transfer in. And I really thought that, like, that experience is over and over and over again. What I get from people when they do the transfer in is they're like, wow, the rest of the meeting went really good. How did that happen? And of course, there's more than that. But the tone that's set from a transfer in often pulls itself into the rest of the meeting. So it was just a picture that I had in my mind of a time when I wouldn't say that I worked even in whole person, because I don't think I knew what that was at that time, because I didn't ever take that training. And I just had met Bert once, and I just thought, oh, that's fun. Let me try that every time I go to a meeting, like literally, oh, a circle, I get that. And oh, let's just try that every time. And that was one of those really profound things that happened just by using that in a non-ideal, like in a situation where I didn't really even know what I was doing. So I just wanted to add that popped into my mind when I was coming in. And, and some of the things you say now help me understand why that maybe worked like that, what the role of transfer in was.
I'd also love to share a story. And I think it's because you wanted to talk, Ad? Yes? I remember I was in a meeting with, I think Eivor was there, I'm not sure, a long time ago, maybe 8-9 years ago. And my son, my oldest son, he was around, and he already finished his university studies, his master's, and he was home, and he was working with other artists to create an organization, and he listened to us. Because I had it open, it wasn't with a headset, it was just open. And he was listening to our conversations. And the way we were, it was in a leadership management team meeting. And he was like, after I finished, he says, how do you make decisions so quickly? And I said, what do you mean, how do we make decisions so quickly? I said, I don't know, we just do. And now reflecting on that and what you say, Doris, I say, yes, you know, it's just like we get into this, we're so used to this now, those of us who have some time working in genuine contact with these tools, we are so used to them that we take them for granted, and we take for granted that meetings have to be engaging and that meetings should always bring out great results, and they do. But we don't realize, wow, it's because we have such great tools. And I think this is fundamental. Doing the transfer in is fundamental. Just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I wanted to share just one more thing. from my 4 years with that board, that organization, because I learned so much about how it works when you do it ongoing on a long-term basis. And I would say that Transferrin, together with a few other things, but mostly Transferrin, it really created a different culture where we work, because this, the work that we did was not without challenges, it was not without problems, but we solved it together, and we had a great feeling of doing it together as a team. Some of the people on the board said that they had never been at a board where they had learned so much and where they had been able to participate so much and to use their full knowledge. And I think that says a little bit about that this is not only for engaging meetings, but it's for changing the culture in the organization when you use it ongoing, long term. So I wonder if we are about to move into the closing of the meeting. You wanted to say something more, Doris, yeah?
Sorry, I wanted to say another insight, about what I noticed that happens when you transfer in a lot. And that is that it really trains people to listen and to be quiet. And I think that's necessary throughout any kind of thing, to learn to listen and turn off the chatter in your head. And I was just thinking, as you were talking, Ewer, about two things. One is when I sit in a group of very experienced genuine contact trainers and is happening or something is happening, you notice that like they're sitting in the circle and they're quiet. You know, like they're listening, they're really listening to what's happening. Whereas in other places, I notice that people, it's like, oh, that's hard to do. You can see them like, difficult, someone steps up. Also was when I worked with these young people, I worked with mentors I would work with them for a year. And that was the thing that was the important piece, is what happened to them by doing regular transfer in, by doing these kinds of things where they also had a role in the transfer in, like to feedback someone else's thing, you know? So you feel a bit responsible for helping the other people. Like when I would meet them in the first part of that year, they would really find it difficult to be quiet, to listen. They couldn't figure, they forget what people said. You know, they were really like, they don't remember because they realized their minds were too busy. And by the end, you watch in those meetings and people are just like, they're sitting and they listen. And I think in terms of engagement, if I think of Inga's, you know, little ear things, that ability to just listen, so key. And this is such a trainer of listening. And part of the reason why it's a trainer of listening is because you listen and you have to say what you heard about someone else and you're afraid to hurt their feelings or to, you know. So I was thinking about that quality and I just had to say it because I just saw this picture of all of the people just listening, sitting and listening. And I thought of recently, many of us were at the mentoring circle in Amsterdam. And that was what really struck me, how everybody listens. So I wanted to just say that and then I'll be quiet and listen.
Can I just very briefly, thank you for responding to my questions. One thing, when I used it a week ago, In the closing circle, people were reflecting on the morning and one person says, I think it went on to, she was reflecting on the morning and she said, I felt it had a slow start, but then I guess that is what you need when we start to discuss how to collaborate in our offices. And I wasn't sure if she was happy about the whole thing or not, But my conclusion was that she was happy, but she was kind of perhaps a bit annoyed about the slowness. But it was like an eye-opener for her that you need to slow down in order to really dig into those things. And then the term go slow to go fast, is that something that you use or can relate to this?
That applies exactly here, I think.
Exactly. That was just what I wanted to mention. Thank you. I'll unmute myself.
And it's, and you should always say, you know, the result of the meeting is what counts in the end, right? Whether it's coming together more, depending on the purpose of the meeting, or you know, contribute you to a certain goal. If that has worked out, if you have been able to do what you needed to do, that transfer in, that slow part was part of that. And if you're convinced of that, then you can convey that to another as well. That sort of that helps. But another thing I was thinking about, and actually Doris is something that we both did at the University of Amsterdam, and we did a transfer in. So we had a classroom in the university, just traditional classroom. So we had to really get out of our way to really make it all the tables out of the way and make a circle. And then they started trickling in. The people, and they were like, whoa, what's this? You know, objects on the floor in a circle. And so what is a transfer in, and especially in that setting, is something weird. It's very weird. And then they sit down, and then they, because they're polite, so, and they're also told to come, of course, by their boss, so that helps also, so that most of those things help. And then they sit down, and at the end of the transfer in, it's not an issue anymore. And it's not going to get any weirder than the transfer in. Transferring is as weird as it gets. But the thing is, at the end of the transferring, everybody's on topic. And that's what they're for. So that helps. And that was sort of our client was actually say, he was sort of a little bit, it's all a bit, I don't know. And then he was completely engaged with, I don't know, did he have Doris of Feather or something like that, like stories.
He had an amazing experience of
the
unconscious mind. And he told us that he thought we shouldn't do it, that intellectuals won't be able to deal with this and it would be stupid. And we said, well, let's see. And then he then I listened to his story and I'm like, oh. So he really liked that. So yeah. I think for me, the lesson is like to just do it, like do it like it is and see what happens.
Okay, thank you. I think we need to stop there because time is moving. It goes fast when you have fun, they say. It was great to listen to you and to this discussion. I would like to just move to slide number 10 for just a minute and to say that if someone is interested to learn more about doing engaging meetings. The full whole person process facilitation workshop is coming up. You could learn it as a self-study together with Dalar International, or you can go to the Netherlands and learn it together with Doris, Anna Carolina, and Thomas Herman in October. There is also this possibility, the opportunity of becoming a Yinyuan Contact member, and then you could continue learning more about new things or things that you already know something about and being part of that learning community. So that is also a good option. And now, since time is moving fast, I invite you to come back to this first slide number one, and this time I will take the bells, and it's time for the closing circle. So I will send them around the circle, and when the person that has the bells is the person that is speaking, and we other are respectful listeners. And you can share anything you would like to share before we part for today. If you don't want to share anything, you could just be silent for a while, or you could just send the bells to the next person. So I'm sending them first to Elizabeth.
Thank you, Eivor, thank you, Ad, for putting this up. Thank you, Rachel, for your tech support. And Inga and Doris for being here, and Ulrika, although she's not here, and for the rest of you who will be hearing this later on. I've been using Transferrin for over, I realize, 11 years, and I just love that being here today gave me new, ¿cómo se dice? Aristas, new... like the gem has different, the new sides to it, you know? So it's like, wow, this, like, it's such beautifully cut that it has more light. You know, it's like when you see a diamond, it has all these cuts, and you can see all the, talking about all these people in the Netherlands, no? You know about diamonds. So it's like, just looking at this piece of beautiful tool that we use, and it's so amazing, and to have learned even more about it makes me so happy. I'm also starting a very special whole person process facilitation this afternoon in an hour or so. So it's wonderful to have this new and grown perspective of the transfer in. So I'm really, really so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm passing the bells over to Inga. There you go.
Thank you. I've been really happy with spending the afternoon with you. Time well spent. I learned it, and experienced it first with Doris, Thomas, and Anna Carolina a few years ago in the Netherlands. And I really like your sentence at this is not going to get any weirder than this. This is as weird as it gets. I'm not going to say, well, you know, when you do it the first time, it's at least something that you remember. And I'm not saying that it was weird back then, but it was interesting. But I didn't kind of grasp how to exactly use it at first. The first time I tried to use it, it completely failed. this was very relevant for me now, since I just used this last Thursday with a group of 40 people, but I skipped one step, and it's good to get that into my mind now. I recommend the workshop if you want to let other people know about that. And I just became a member, so I hope to see all of you soon again. And I'm really happy about being here today. Thank you. So I don't know what to do.
You pass them on to me.
This, yeah, to you, and unmute myself. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for being here. I've really enjoyed creating this workshop together with Eivor and facilitating it today. It's been wonderful to hear all this. I was thinking, nah, you know, 3 hours, I don't think we're gonna fill it. And I I failed to realize what passion does if people are talking about what they're passionate about and what their topic is and when they're engaged, what then happens. And it's been very rich and it's I'm looking forward to the next one. Actually, I think this is a great series, and I'll pass on to Rachel if she's there. I don't see her, but maybe she can hear me.
Just turning my camera off while I'm sitting and listening. That's all. Of course, I'm here and happy to have been here to share and listen and learn. And it's always great to learn from each other, to learn from our experiences, and to keep applying all the things that we know about genuine contact. So it's been a privilege to be here as a participant from that perspective. And from the perspective of our Genuine Contact organization, I'm also so pleased to have you all here and to continue on with this Genuine Contact specialty series of workshops and being able to keep showcasing all the things that we're passionate about and that we're learning about and the different ways that we're applying Genuine Contact so that we can keep learning from each other in powerful ways. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Doris, and say thank you once more to all of you for being here.
And as you're passing it to me, Rachel, you passed yourself to me. I have to open the door. Hang on. So I will be right back. I'll open the door. I'll say something and then I'll let the person come upstairs because it's a very big, long stairway. Sorry about that. Somebody's just come by. I just want to say two things that really came to my mind. First of all, I loved being here. I love going back and having what I would call like beginner's mind, something that I know so well, and then looking at it from a new perspective. I love that. And I really learned a lot and I had a great time. I'm going to shamelessly plug that in November I'll be doing a workshop and I would love to see people coming to that. I'll do a specialty series. And I just think it's amazing to have a chance to really talk together about these tools because there's so much behind them so that we can all learn to work with them and feel comfortable with them together. And now I have to go because somebody's at my door. So I'll pass them to you, Aymor.
Well, thank you. It's been really interesting three hours, and I'm very happy for doing this together with Ad. It was really interesting to design this workshop, first of all, and then it was great to have Rachel here and to have the help behind the scenes. Things just magically happens without you even having to think about them, especially about the recording and so on, because I always forget that. And it's so great to hear all the rich experiences and all your wisdom about this tool. And thank you for your engagement in this meeting, in this workshop. I know that Rachel has already sent you a link to a handout that you could download if you haven't done it before this workshop. And so then you can read a little bit more about what we have been talking about. So I don't know, Rachel, do you want to say something at the end?
Just one last thank you for everyone being here and being a part of the organization and continuing to learn together. There will be one more follow-up email from me sometime between now and the end of this week that will provide you with a link to the recording so you can listen to it again. That handout will be there again as well, and so will a copy of all of these whiteboards so that you can see the notes of what it is that we were talking about together. So perhaps we will see you at the next one of our Genuine Contact specialty series, which of course is Doris with her exploration about conduct. You'll also get an invitation about that in the coming weeks so that you can get it onto your calendar and choose to join us if you wish. Thank you very much also, Awar and Odd, for your great facilitation, for your wonderful learning and deep exploration about the transfer in with all of us. And I guess that's the end.